BingeBots.
Hi, I'm Samiran.
Hi, I'm Nilesh.
Hi, I'm Sheetal. And you're listening to 3TB.
Three Techies Banter.
Hi, I am Sheetal and welcome to Three Techies Banter, a podcast series in which we delve into tech, finance and economics, making it simple and surprising as we share its immense potential to influence our futures. We banter every week and the three of us usually who banter, that's Samiran, who you will hear today. We also have Nilesh, but today Nilesh is missing in action. And I guess he will give the excuses that he has to give next time when we record with him. But in place of Nilesh, we have three very, very interesting people joining us today. And I'm going to hand it over to Samiran to tell you a little more about them.
Hey, thanks, Sheetal. And hello, everyone. It's just great to be back. So, as you know, we've kind of taken this whole mantle of talking about technology in a fun way. And a lot of the fun in technology is really about interesting stories behind, you know, things that have happened, what led them to happen, who did it, why they did it, how they chanced upon it. And, if you guys are not aware, there is this extremely, extremely interesting and engaging group of people called Paperclip who bring the most, what should I say, for want of a better word, bizarre stories to life and make them interesting, whether it be about Ren and Martin, whether it be about, Tintin, the Mysore Pak, what have you. So we have three people from that team with us. And, it will be an injustice to try and, introduce them myself. So I'm going to ask each of them to kind of tell us a little bit about themselves and what led them to where they are today, and then take it from there. So over to you guys. Indro, maybe you can start.
Sure. Hello, everyone. My name is Indronath Mukherjee. So I do a job of a data scientist during the day and work with my fellow co-founders and team members on Paperclip. But before talking about Paperclip, I want to talk about something else, which is in a way a journey to Paperclip, I'd say. So my fellow co-founder who is here also, Srinanthu De. Srinanthu and I met up a long time back in social media around 2006 and 7. So even after meeting, we would typically discuss multiple things, but mostly football. And even if I go further, then in Argentine football. And those conversations led to something, again, along with a few other friends, starting a football blog, so to say.
Specialized.
And we then moved, we thought that, we should do something that nobody else does. So we started writing, finding human interests or other quirky stories around football. And we used to call our football club Golden Times, with G-O-A-L as the Golden Times. And we ran it for about a decade and did reasonably well in the sense we got an international award. We got featured in a few newspaper in UK, few vernacular newspaper back home, especially after winning the award. And then we thought got into a rabbit hole because we created too much of niche for us. And we said, let's do something else. And that's when the idea of Paperclip came in. And I will not drag this introduction much, but I'll just say that during this discussion, we met Trinanjon, TC, who was almost like an automatic fit into what we were trying to do. And then, of course, three of us got a few people together and started doing what we do at Paperclip. And over the course of today's discussion, we'll discuss some of the stories, which probably people will find interesting. But I'll just hand it over to Srinanthu for the next part of his introduction, or if he wants to talk about the journey.
So, Dave, before you do your introduction, let me tell you, Indro, that Samiran didn't do the introductions. Much as he's a Bengali, he was quite sure he was going to get your names wrong. he's just...
yeah, I can't bear that burden.
he please just copped out of it, okay? I'm just saying, because he would have been dissed by your entire community. Imagine all of you from that community and he gets your names wrong. So I know I'm outvoted today completely. Day, all over to you.
So my name is Srinuntu Day, and I think I'm pretty like used to with my name being corrupted in multiple forms. So I go by my last name, Day. That's like the easier option. So feel free to call me anything. My name is actually given by my mom. It's a Sanskrit word. It means listen to me, which could be a good podcast name probably for future people. But yeah, so I think as Indrada mentioned, right, I think we met over football, and you know that's where we started our journey. And around like 2020, before the pandemic hit, right, you know, around that time we started thinking about, you know, how can we do something different, and how can we do something probably more engaging and probably more for wider audience rather than, you know, keeping it a niche. And also in the football world, we kind of hit the creative, you know, block, right? Okay, this, we have done this and we're not really doing something new. I think that was kind of, you know, bothering us. And also that time, you know, this is a time also, you know, it's a world of post-truth, and you know, we see like, you know, history is being rewritten, distorted and stuff. So we thought like, you know, our collective love for the nation also comes to the picture, our love for history. So we thought like, why not we try to, you know, tell stories as it is, and, you know, and make it more informed and engaging and more entertaining in a way, right? Because we read so many books, we saw so many great works by historians or reporters, journalists and stuff, right? But sometimes it doesn't really, you know, reach the people because it has been, you know, written in such a way that it doesn't have the communicating power, right? So it's all like storytelling could be a great, you know, a medium, you know, take those informations accessible to a lot, you know, a bigger platform in the world, right? So that's where, you know, the paperclip was born around that time, I think. And we just had like our second birthday on 15th August this year. And I think we started our pretty much the whole journey on Twitter. I mean, even though we had like, you know, bigger idea behind the scene, but Twitter pretty much gave us the access to a lot of interesting people, you know, who are probably, you know, looking for something interesting content that we create. And also they kept enriching our content all the time. If you probably go to any of our Twitter threads, you probably see, you know, probably hundreds of people, they're commenting with a lot of more information, you know, to make it right, and adding some local anecdotes and, you know, sharing a lot of stories from their, you know, childhood, nostalgia and all those stuff. And all those kind of make the stories even go farther, right? And that is pretty much exactly the vision that we had when you started, right? You know, make the stories talk, right? And, you know, story stands for yourself. I think that's where our paperclip story stand. And for me, like, you know, it's just like, you know, like Indra said, I'm actually a part of a tech job I'm doing. I'm in Chicago. And daytime, a techie, and I think I spend like probably more time in paperclip now, like, across weekends and everything else. So I think that's pretty much with me, and you know, just closing up the football thing. And I think TC also is an Argentine fan, just like probably one of the sacred, you know, connection that we have. And I personally stopped watching football after 18th of December. So that's like my ultimate dream game.
So I have to tell you guys this story about corrupting names. Okay, so I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of issues with corrupting names, with the pronunciation, you know. But for me, I think it, my name died with the coming of Dilwale Dulhaniya Le Jayenge, because I became Simran forever, you know. Because I mean, nobody seems to be able to say anything other than Simran. He said, "Oh, Simran, oh, you know." And then they look at me and said that, you know, and this guy doesn't look like Kajol. You know, there's something strange going on.
So from game theory, let's go a little into other things that you all have spoken about. And I understand the love for football and all of that. But I was just wondering, are there other stories where you felt that, you know, there were things that were happening in India which were related to, and I know you've talked about it from in the balloon story, the balloonist story and the other stories. Are there other such stories where we realize that there is so much contribution that is being made to tech or science, and we never seem to give credit to the right people for it? And I think both your stories are really interesting in that case. So any one of you, whichever story works for you.
It's a Babu that the British used to call Bengalis, you know, colony at the time. So I think that's a very interesting story, because I think we wrote it when the during the Chandrayaan 3 success. That's the time we wrote it, because I feel like that was a very interesting story to people to know about you know, the history and everything behind. And one of the way we try to tell stories in Paperclip, you know, in fashion is about, you know, how very small things, you know, little things, you know, make the bigger impacts in life, right? The butterfly effect, the domino effects, right? How things transcends, you know, and, you know, influence people, and, you know, a small, very small thing that, you know, probably over century, you know, make something great, right? I think that's why we try to see people, and that kind of our way to, you know, be, you know, tell people that, you know, everything has a value. It's nothing like, you know, only the bigger thing has value and then a smaller thing doesn't have value. I think we have the tendency to reject things which are not successful and stuff, but I think everything makes that, you know, ground. So Chandrayaan 3 is not like one overnight success, but it's like a, I think, 2-century wide, you know, story, right? So the Babu Balloonist, I believe, you know, I heard this story, I mean, I read about this story from a very different, background, because I think my friends know, like, you know, I'm a huge Tintin fan. Actually, you can even see my this one Tintin poster right there, the Land of Moon. So if you know about the Professor Calculus, right, you know, he was, you know, like, you know, heavily influenced, the character was, you know, created by somebody called Augusto Antonio Picard, right? He's a scientist, and he's a very adventurous guy too. You know, he created submarines and stuff, and, you know, he also, you know, had a balloon adventure. Like, he took the hydrogen balloon and, you know, pretty much did it, like, you know, around over the globe to, you know, study the, you know, upper atmosphere and stuff, right? And even in one of the Tintin comics, I think it's Castafiore's Emerald, they had like a small tribute to Picard as well, you know, where Castafiore is telling Calculus that, okay, hey, thank you for, you know, your great news about your, you know, balloon rounding of the globe. So I think that's where I started picking interest in the balloon. And then why not check, you know, what's happening in India at that time. That's where, like, you know, I think I learned about Babu Balloonist. His name is like Ramchandra Chatterjee, actually, about it like long back. So that's how way we connected the story during the Chandrayaan, you know, launching that time. So this guy is like, you know, fascinating guy, right? Now, forget about his balloonist, balloon and all those adventure. Before all those time, I think that's like around, like, you know, 1880s time. He was a trapeze artist in a circus, right? You know, that's like, you know, a very, you know, unique kind of profession, even for the Bengali, right? Even for Indian at that time. So from there, I believe that time there's one pretty big guy, you know, British guy. I believe his name is, you know, Parsvi Spencer. He was traveling to India that time, and, you know, with his balloon and stuff. And this guy kind of, you know, joined with him, and he did, you know, with him, he did like a fly before, and then he bought the balloon from him pretty much and did his solo flying, right? And that's, he pretty much became the India's first, think about aeronaut, right? You know, he's the first one to go, I think, 40,000 feet, you know, above the ground from Calcutta and stuff. And there's a book, you know, mentioning about his stories, and you will be hilarious accounts, you know, how he flew and, you know, and then how he landed in near Sundarban and whatnot. It's a very fascinating story. I'm not going there. This guy's made this, all these things, you know, around like 1890 and stuff. And then what happened, like, you know, I think he died the next year during another adventure. I think he hit a hill in somewhere in India. But that's like a great, you know, courage that, you know, some like Bengali guy. And that time, remember, like, you know, in the British press and everywhere else, Indian Bengalis all over, right? The Babus, right? You know, they have been not given credit for any kind of, you know, courageous or act of bravery and anything like that, right? So that's the reason they started calling him Babu Balloonist, and kind of, you know, breaking the stereotype about, you know, Indian men and women. So that was like one of the thing. And that's where the chain effect starts. You know, the day, I think the year he passed away, I believe a year or two later, there's one boy also born. His name is Shishir Kumar Mitra. He became like one of the, you know, like, you know, great physicists and, you know, of India. And like, I think 1925, 26 time, you know, he started, you know, doing his research on, you know, radio transmissions and study of the ionosphere, and that is pretty much, you know, your beginning of India's modern space research endeavors, right? And how this guy is connected? he got all this inspiration about space science, you know, or aeronautical science and everything else from the stories of Ramchandra Chatterjee, right? When he was a kid, he used to know about, you know, everybody's telling the stories of this guy who actually, you know, flying in a balloon. That, you know, keeps me intrigued, you know, kind of coming with the science and tech projects and stuff, right? So, you know, one small leap, you know, they said, right, in Bengal, and this guy created that, and that started the modern space research in India. I think that's where the story actually came in. I believe it's got like a pretty good response. People are very intrigued to know, you know, and there are like books and, you know, newspaper articles about illustrations of, you know, this guy flying. And even actually he made a makeshift parachute, you know, using the tusser, you know, the cloth, right? He made a parachute and he even jumped from the balloon in 1890, right? That's like, I feel like that's really, really fascinating to and I do appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, I did read about the tusser silk, where he went, asks for tusser silk, and people are wondering why he's doing that. So just a question. I know we've spoken about the stories before, so we kind of put the cart before the horse, but why the name Paperclip?
Also, you know, just when we decided to name our football-related blog Golden Times with a G-O-A-L, we thought that's very, you know, cool and kind of quirky, but we realized in terms of for people to relate, it should be a simpler name, which people can, so that's something that is said, keep it simple. And we had brainstormed quite a bit about different names, but I think when Paperclip came in, everybody's like, yeah, we are there, because that's also resonated with what we are doing, like binding stories. So all of that kind of happened. And it was, I think, spark of a moment while we were discussing Paperclip and said, let's stop there.
So you all also have tech backgrounds in technology, right? And therefore, how do you marry tech into things that you do in Paperclip? Or is it Paperclip and tech? How does it work? So when I want to take a break from tech, I go to Paperclip. Is that how it is? Or do we bring the tech into Paperclip? Is the question.
I coming from, like, you know, engineering background, and then I did my master's in computer science, then I working in tech for I don't know, decades now. So, you know, tech is kind of ingrained into my way, and I work as a site reliability engineer. That's pretty much, you know, I pretty much make sure that, you know, software is available and reliable for the users, right? So I think I try to kind of get that, you know, back of the mind and use that philosophy in Paperclip as well, you know, creating a very reliable product, right, in Nutshell. You know, how and the main thing that I believe I use from my particular tech job is how to optimize something, right? And that's pretty much my job, you know, how to make something the process or anything optimized using tech. Even here, maybe I'm not really using tech something, but, you know, I try to, you know, bring those stuff. You know, you cannot completely check out from my background and come up here, but I try to get the good things that I have here. And we use, you know, a few of the smaller tech. Definitely, we're not like the biggest company here, right? So we don't really have that much of funding. But as much as possible, in a frugal engineering way, we use, I believe, a lot of tech. And I think that's pretty much, you know, the culture of Indian startups anyway, right? And using all the frugal methods. And I think we use a lot of those things. And, you know, I think we have this website presence anyway, right? And we use, you know, a lot of. And we have like a very small team, like, you know, I think we are representing here, but, you know, there are like four more people actually working right now. That's why we are able to take a break and join you guys. But with that, how to scale is one of our, you know, always we keep thinking, and we use the tech a lot, you know, how to scale our operations, how to scale social media posts, how to scale, you know, our website activities and stuff. We use a lot of, you know, Google tech, you know, all over.
No, I think TC. I think rather than we'll talk about it, I think maybe we can pick your story. I think we kind of went through a lot, and when we discussed it, you know, there are lots of interesting and quirky ones. I think we came up with this. I saw that one about the telescope and all, but I think what kind of caught my eye was that cyclotron, and you know, it's like, and to talk about particle accelerators at the time when it was there, it seemed like really, you know, I mean, I can still put my head around maybe a telescope because, you know, maybe pirates also use telescopes. So, you know, maybe it's not that much of a stretch. But like, you know, a particle accelerator seemed like, wow, you know, I mean, I didn't even know we were thinking about it because we are still getting amazed by the CERN particle accelerator and, you know, saying, what are we doing? So, I mean, maybe, you know, you can just pick that and say, you know.
just to add a bit of pop culture here. So if you have seen Oppenheimer recently, Josh Hartnett plays the character of Ernest O. Lawrence. So India's cyclotron journey starts in a way with Ernest Lawrence is the man who invented the cyclotron accelerator and in 1929. So Dr. Meghnad Shah was, I think, he truly is the father of Indian physics, astrophysics, as well as nuclear physics. And he was the one who envisioned a future of nuclear energy in India. He was the one who realized truly in the 1930s, sitting in Calcutta, he had envisioned the future being shaped by the power of nuclear energy. And he was the one who got in touch with Ernest Lawrence, and he sent his most trusted and best student, B.D. Nagchaudhuri, to University of California in Berkeley to work under Lawrence, learn the nuances and the tricks of creating a cyclotron, because Dr. Shah was also a very patriotic minded man. This is something that, you know, stands apart for many of the science personalities of the time. They had a very deep patriotic and nationalistic sentiment, which went along with their scientific part of their personality. So he wanted a cyclotron to be built in India. And unfortunately, both the journey of that cyclotron and the bigger cyclotron, which was made during the 1960s, in the late 1960s, in both cases, there were tremendous obstacles that, you know, even in today's times, if you're faced with that kind of obstacles, you would probably, you know, give up. I mean, just think that early 1940s India, manufacturing capabilities for high-end scientific gadgetry was almost non-existent. And whatever was there, manufacturing capabilities were obviously directed towards the Allied war efforts. There were threats of a Japanese invasion. There were Japanese bombing raids on Calcutta happening. Amidst all these men, Dr. Shah, Dr. B.D. Nagchaudhuri, and some others, they kept this dream alive. And they had to import the parts and components. And one of the ships which carries the components was lost at sea, possibly sunk by a German submarine. Even then, they did not give up. And eventually, when the cyclotron, the first 38-inch cyclotron, went functional, except for the main magnet and one other part, everything else was manufactured indigenously. I think today we talk so much about Make in India, and Make in India has become a slogan. But here is someone even before independence, basically working with the spirit of Make in India. I truly take my hats off to these people, and it's honestly a tragedy that except for people who have either studied advanced physics, or I mean someone like me who does not have a science background but always had an interest in these topics, their names and their work has largely been lost in the last 50-60 years. And I'll tell you the main motivation to do the cyclotron story came from. It was after I saw the series Rocket Boys on Sony Liv. It was a very good series. But one of the things, I don't know, maybe there were rights issues or something, that while they used largely all real characters, so you had Pandit Nehru, you had Dr. Bhabha, you had Dr. Sarabhai, you had Dr. C.V. Raman, but the Calcutta physicist group, Dr. Shah, Dr. Nagchaudhuri, they're all missing. So you had a Dr. Mehdi Hassan, a fictional amalgamation of these characters. The trouble is that, or the problem is that, because almost all the other characters are real, inhabiting the books of history, people who are not in the know of the actual thing, and which is a much bigger number, they tomorrow might assume that Dr. Mehdi was a real personality. And these people who are already marginalized, I mean, how many people know that Dr. Nagchaudhuri was also a pivotal person behind the success of our first nuclear testing in Pokhran in 1974, right? So tomorrow they will think that Dr. Nagchaudhuri, Raza Mehdi is a real character. So, I mean, and the history repeated again in the 60s. I mean, It was a terrible time to be in Bengal. There was Naxalite trouble. There was massive food shortage. Again, they could not import any machinery, any components, because there was a massive foreign exchange crisis. There were massive power cuts in Calcutta. I mean, Calcutta and load shedding, the term load shedding, if you have grown up in Calcutta, this is a word that's part of your dictionary. So it was synonymous. So Dr. Raja Ramanna actually came up with the formula that we will work, the cyclotron work will exclusively happen in the night, because at the night, the demand is less. So hopefully we will get an uninterrupted power supply. And can you imagine? And this is why this cyclotron was actually called the nocturnal cyclotron. Dr. Ramanna called it world's first nocturnal cyclotron. And in less than 10 years, it generated the first beam of light. I have had the privilege and of honor of meeting Dr. Vikash Sinha, who was part of the team, who just recently, I think just a couple of 10 days back, he passed away. I've had the pleasure and privilege of meeting him and hearing firsthand. I mean, still now that he had that childlike enthusiasm, thinking of when the first beam of light went out, it's amazing. It's sort of, it gives you a certain sense of chill. I mean, again, like I said, that I really take hats off to these people. I mean, I don't know what drove them. It's difficult to express in words, but the fact that, they could do it in a country like India, starting from British period, when there was so much racial prejudice against Indian scientists, there was so much infrastructural constraint, there was monetary constraints, there were political problems, all kinds of problems. Despite that, what they achieved, I think it needs far better documentation and far more people to talk about it. And thanks to you, for giving this platform so that some more people would get to know this story. So thanks a lot to you.
No, so Wes Anderson has in previous, a lot of his movies, he has a habit of giving homage to Ray. So if you watched Darjeeling Limited, in the train, they're going and there's a photograph of Ray. Then there's another film where a very similar image of Oput Shongshar comes up here. So when Srinandu watched the film and talked about it, I said, this is clearly a homage to Arunet Dinratri's memory game scene. And these are like bunch of scientists going in a conference and kind of in between, they're taking a break and passing time by playing memory game. And one of them said, J.C. Bose. And the other cool way in which Wes Anderson gave homage is in the Arunet Dinratri's memory game, one of the names is taken is Cleopatra. And even in Asteroid City, they said Cleopatra. So at the time, it said, let's not be subtle. Let's give one direct hint. But then mentioning J.C.
Dr. Bose was a very interesting personality, a man of very strange contradictions. Because normally, you wouldn't think that a man of science would also be a man of spirituality. But such was Dr. Bose. He was at the avant-garde of science, but he was also a deeply spiritual man. And I'm sure you all know about this. You have all heard of this thing that he did not take patents for his invention, which led to all the controversy around invention of radio waves and everything. But there was a reason behind it. He felt that no one should own science. He felt that science is something that humanity is blessed with. So no one should own science, no one should try to commercialize science. That's why he never took patents. That's why he openly, in India, in Europe, in London, he openly talked about his inventions. He showed diagrams, he showed demonstrations. So he had this strange spiritual and philosophical side to his personality, which actually backfired on him also, because a section of the American science community, launched a very vile campaign against him, using his use of the word plant soul, that plants have souls. They tried to paint him in a light of Orient mysticism, that, he's not scientist, he's into all this hocus pocus Oriental mumbo jumbo. And you can understand, it is 1920s. So it's 100 years back, what was the kind of prejudice that was prevalent. So, I find this contrast amazing. You don't get a man of science who is so deeply rooted into ancient Indian philosophy and spirituality. But such was Dr. Bose.
No, this is just fascinating. And I think maybe we owe it to Hollywood, you know. And in fact, I was just reading your story even on J.C. Bose. And it says that, okay, no, he's also made it into some Hollywood movie. So now we are rediscovering. So it's probably Hollywood is our conduit into recognition in India, like everything else, you know, like you go abroad to get famous in India type of situation. So I think even the J.C. Bose thing is like, you know, I mean, growing up, you know, we were like, I mean, at least we had heard from our grandparents, you know, like he used to be kind of likened to the Einsteins. I mean, you know, spoken in the same breath or the greatest of people. And then suddenly there came a period when it all got lost. So, I mean, so is the J.C. Bose also, was he also like a nocturnal biologist or something? Thanks to Lord Shedding.
And there is actually also a seminal paper around this, well, this recognitions, and which is also we mentioned in our stories, which talks about J.C. Bose and the kind of racial discrimination that he faced in the American scientific community around that time. So I think one of the things is we give it to America is they also own up their mistakes, and at least a segment of scientists, they owned up their mistakes, and they've written quite a lot, not just said own up. So some papers have been written around it. So there is, but it's great that a filmmaker bringing it in popular culture and showing something. So which helps us to tell the story in a simpler fashion, not to be technical. But yeah, fascinating to see that's happening.
I think this particular movie is Asteroid City. I think Indra told me that it was did not release in India. So actually, I watched the movie and I had a free pass on movies, so I pretty much watched every movie every other weekend. So it's a Wes Anderson movie, right? And Wes Anderson is a huge Ray fan in any way, right? And I believe he has a good, you know, understanding of, you know, overall Indian culture and, you know, knowledge and stuff. I picked up from there is a scene in the movie, and I went with one of my, you know, non-Bengali friend to watch the movie. He's from Mumbai. He's a very good friend of mine. And then I saw that this memory game was showing in the Asteroid City, and immediately clicked me with this. Exactly the same thing they showed in one of the Rays movie, and which is Arunyat Dinratri, where Sharmila Tagore and, you know, was, you know, part of that. And I mean, even the way they told and stuff was very similar to the Rays classic, right? So, and I knew Wes Anderson is a Rays fan. So that's why I came up with this. Definitely has to have something to have the influence references then. And then one of the person who was playing the game in this Hollywood movie was saying J.C. Bose. And, you know, I don't think anybody could connect in the theater except me. I come from Calcutta too, and then we started, you know, reading and, you know, started creating the story. I believe PC had already working on some similar project by the time, and I believe his name is Dr. MacDougall. He was pretty much, you know, the leader of the clan.
Just to add one thing on Dr. J.C. Bose, Shomiran, just to add one last thing. So I think you said that why this sudden interest. So in the American scientific circle, since the 1990s and especially since the turn of the century, there has been a realization of the injustice that was done to him, the kind of misinformation campaign that was launched against him. So there has been a proactive attempt to correct certain historic wrongs, which I think is why we are probably going to see, we are seeing more mentions of him and more recognition for him for his work in the Western.
So now, so that's why we are singing. So now we are all stunned by Oppenheimer and the Bhagavad Gita, and we are singing praises of him. I mean, the corollary question is, so what is causing them to be discovered now, at least in the Western world? I mean, how are they getting found? Is it like, are there like people, trivia loving people like you there who are digging up, let me find the strangest guy who talked about this, and oh, there was this Indian fellow. I mean, how are they getting discovered now?
You know, although I was trained in as an economist, I studied economics, mathematics, statistics, but my data science work, which is, you know, building machine learning models, it's from a tech space, everybody talks about now artificial intelligence and machine learning. And in this things, what is currently the biggest word is the generative AI, that, you know, the chat GPTs of the world. And it's a very dangerous threat of what kind of things we do. We try to write, you know, authentic and exciting stories. So in our workspace, first of all, we use a lot of technology to make sure, because all of us are different parts of the world, we use technology to have a virtual working environment. But we ensure that the stories that we write, we write it ourselves and don't use generative AI to write certain things, because that's everybody is talking and they are saying that everything will be done by generative AI. We have seen some sample and the results are disastrous. So that's something which tech cycle guys don't do it. So
there is one more actually. Let me tell you, Kennedy. Yes. So in this Ray movie, they said like one of the guys are Kennedy, and you know I think Sharmila said like which Kennedy, like that, right? Yeah. Here also, there's one thing like that. They use one of the scientists' last name and other person said, which person is this? I don't remember the name. So I think that one scene, he gave homage to two Indians in one scene, right? You know, J.C. Bose and Ray. That is fascinating, we found out. And just to add one more thing, since you asked, right, you know, how these new things are coming up, people are starting recognizing, right? You know, I'm just telling one thing. TC mentioned about Dr. Sinha, right? Because Sinha, who was, you know, head of the project, he was actually part of the, I believe, the board of my undergrad college, NIT Durgapur. And because Sinha's name was all over, and none of us, all the science students, had no clue that he was part of the Cyclotron project, right? So these stories are actually not accessible to mass, even for the people from science background. I can tell you, like, for sure, like, none of the 400 people in my batch would know this, right? So it's very important to, you know, kind of come up with, you know, this story should be heard multiple times so that people can understand. And that's where this part of storytelling comes in the picture, right? You know, these things are there, hidden in books, journals, and stuff. Our humble attempt to just, you know, keep it in front of you so that you can consume very easily.
No, totally agree with you. I think that one of the biggest worries that we have with generative AI is the fact that we will lose out on people who are using their minds to do what they're doing. And that is something that we don't want to lose out on. But having said that, you know, it was absolutely wonderful speaking with each one of you. I think the fact that you're explaining these stories, the fact I hadn't even read any of your stories before I came here, till we decided to meet. And ever since Samiran has kind of hooked me onto it, I've been reading everything. So I felt like I had missed out on so much before. I wish I'd read about you guys much earlier and had such fun, interesting stories to read. So I'm totally hooked onto the stories, and I think it was an absolute pleasure having you guys here. I hope everybody reads up all of the stories because it's so wonderfully written. That's one. And B, I think what I love is the twist that comes into the stories. Like when I was reading the Babu Balloonist story, I thought the story would end at a certain point, and then suddenly the twist comes in of another a kid being born, and you know, the story continues. So there are moments where you've kind of led the reader very beautifully into each one of these stories. So I love them. And thank you so much for being here. Love the fact that everybody who's from the world of tech is writing some really creative stuff, but also questioning what tech can do for us. So that's another thing that I totally enjoy. And for our listeners, if you really liked what we spoke about today, then don't forget to subscribe to Paperclip. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to us. So on that happy note, thank you once again, Day, Indro, and TC for joining us. Samiran, I think Nilesh missed out on a wonderful episode today. But I guess he will catch up soon with us.
Join industry leaders for an exciting event unlike any other at Parker Seminars Las Vegas 2024. Attendees will hear from renowned speakers including ultra-distance cycler David Goggins, leadership expert Simon Sinek, and an author of Battle for Your Brain, Nita Farahani, among others. We'll have 12 unique tracks to choose from covering topics from beyond biohacking and chiropractic principles to clinical science and more. Go to parkerseminars.com and register today.